It can be easy to miss it in the absolute torrent of news over the past year. But every few weeks, amid the reports of worsening climate, political partisanship, racism, celebrity nonsense, whatever is dominating the news cycle and social media, a new report surfaces about UFOs. For a long, long time, we knew people were reporting seeing strange things in the sky. It's only recently, though, that we've been learning more about who is reporting them, how detailed the reports are, how many people corroborate them, and even more importantly, how seriously the world's biggest military takes them. No, we still don't know what they are. That's why the U is still in front of the FO. But what we're learning is that they're far more common than we thought. The reports are more credible than we might have imagined. And after many years of being consigned to the realm of cranks and conspiracy theorists, UFOs are real, it seems. So why isn't Canada telling us more about what it knows about them? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is a special bonus episode of The Big Story that is brought to you by Season 2 of CBC's War of the Worlds on CBC and CBC Gem, and also brought to you by my boundless devotion to covering the Alien Beat. Speaking of covering the Alien Beat, freelance reporter Daniel Otis has written for many publications, but he has been on the Alien Beat for Vice Canada for several months now. Hello, Daniel.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure. I wanted to start just because I had no idea that this was a private company. Tell me, what is NAV Canada and what do they do?
Yeah, so NAV Canada is the private company that basically runs all civil air navigation in the country. So that what that means is they're basically in charge of air traffic control. NAV Canada was formed in 1996 when the Canadian government privatized air traffic control infrastructure in this $1.5 billion deal. So since 1996, it's been NAV Canada running those functions. They own and operate things like airport towers. And it's kind of a unique situation because no other country in the world has fully privatized their air navigation services.
And so what does that mean in practice for the kinds of data they collect and the reporting that they do that you would like to get your hands on?
Yeah. So in my research for Vice Canada, I've basically been able to find about 20 years worth of UFO reports from commercial pilots. We're talking Air Canada, Porter Airlines, WestJet, you know, the airlines you've been on the routes you've been on, basically. And, you know, over the years, every once in a while, commercial professional aviators are spotting things that are unusual. Could be solid metallic objects or, you know, erratically moving lights. And when they see something like that, their first point of contact are the air traffic controllers who are employed by NAV Canada. So, you know, were NAV Canada to be a public entity, if a pilot were to report a UFO sighting, then we'd be able to go through the access to information process to find additional documentation, to see perhaps if there's corroborating radar data, to get audio recordings from the towers when the air traffic controllers are speaking to these pilot witnesses. But because NAV Canada is a private company, all of that material is completely inaccessible to Canadian UFO researchers unless it's being requested by the Canadian government or military. And, you know, it, all signs point to the Canadian government and military not really having a strong interest in following up on cases like this. In the statements they've sent to me, they've basically said, unless, you know, one of these UFO sightings clearly represents an emergency situation or a credible threat, we're not going to do anything about it. So which means that, you know, all of this potential additional data on these sightings is just sitting with NAV Canada. And until, you know, someone in the government and military asks for it, it's going to stay with this private company and it won't be part of the public record.
How does that differ from, say, the United States, where I think anybody who is interested in UFOs will have seen over the past year or so, there's been a lot of opening up of their records and research and what the American government essentially knows about these objects?
Yeah, there's a bit of a dichotomy happening where the United States seems to be taking increasingly the stance where officials, military officials, politicians are willing to publicly, talk about UFO sightings and, the potential flight safety and national security implications that come with these types of sightings. In Canada, by contrast, our politicians, our officials are completely silent on the issue. It's pretty hard to get statements about the matter. The military engages to a certain extent, but, if you try to get really anything out of Ottawa, it's not going to happen. But, the flip side of that is if you're trying to find information on cases, it's actually a little bit easier in Canada. I think precisely because the Canadian military doesn't see this as a security or defense issue the way the United States does. When you ask for the, documents on the reports they've received, you get them, with minimal redactions, and usually they come through quite quickly. I've had access to information requests processed in as little as 28, 29 days. And, I believe that's because they don't see it as a security and a defense issue. And so in the United States, if you're trying to research the topic, you can go get statements from acting military officials and sitting senators. But once you try to dig a little deeper into the case data, a lot of that gets redacted through their freedom of information process because it's withheld and redacted on national security grounds, which is, one of the allowable, categories to redact information.
I will add here as a note to non-journalists listening that getting access to information requests back in under 30 days in Canada is the stuff of legends, perhaps.
It's extraordinary, yeah. But, it shows that we have a very robust access to information environment here in Canada, staffed by, hardworking people. I've had a couple that have come back in under 30 days. Usually these things take months, if not years.
So before we get into what you've recently found out about some protocols, just to tease it, for those who haven't listened to your first appearance on this podcast, maybe summarize the reporting that you have done about just how prevalent UFO sightings are in Canada. And I think that to me was the big takeaway, that I knew these reports existed, but not in these numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what I first started reporting on the subject for Vice Canada back in April. And my early reporting was based on the Canadian government's aviation incident database. So if a pilot hits, a bird or has a drunk unruly passenger or anything like that, it gets logged as an aviation incident. By basically pouring through thousands of these reports dating back 20 years, I was able to tease out, UFO reports from commercial aviators. And, these are happening in the frequency of a couple every year. And just to give you an example, some include things that are, described as, round metallic objects. They have that sort of classical UFO description, whereas most are just sort of, really weird lights in the sky. In addition to finding those types of aviation cases from professional pilots, I was also able to find 70 years worth of Canadian military UFO reports. At one particular base, CFB North Bay in Ontario, I was able to find UFO reports from base personnel from 1952 and 2007. And so that's 55 years apart, and the one in 1952 was the more unusual of the two sightings. And I also, in my research, I was able to find a Canadian military UFO sighting from July of this year. At the end of the month, one of the Canadian transport planes that was on its way to Afghanistan to pick up at-risk personnel reported seeing, quote, a bright green flying object that flew into a cloud, then disappeared. Flying parallel to that Canadian transport plane was a Dutch KLM passenger flight, which reported seeing the exact same thing. So these reports are happening. They go back 70 years, and they're being reported by credible witnesses, professional pilots, military personnel, Air Force personnel, people who generally should have a good understanding of what should and should not be in the sky. My opinion is if someone like that is saying that they saw something that they can't explain, I think that we need to listen and maybe dig a little deeper instead of just ignoring those reports.
We'll be right back after this quick break, brought to you by CBC's War of the Worlds. Chris Rutkowski is a science writer who has been specializing in UFO research for many years now. Chris, you're a UFO expert. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I've been into this for a while.
Maybe let's just start with, why are people so fascinated by the possibility of aliens, especially now, because I feel like we're getting more fascinated with it now at the same time as we have so many more problems on Earth we could be dealing with.
And I think that's exactly why people are fascinated with the subject of UFOs and aliens, because since time immemorial, we've been looking to the stars, looking to the sky and wondering if we're alone. Is there anyone out there like us? And, you know, during these real tough times right now, I think that's come to the forefront. Many people are realizing that we may not have all the answers in terms of trying to get us out of some of the messes we're in. But, you know, what if somebody out there has survived some of these challenges? If climate wasn't a problem and there's enough food to go around and war was not even thought of anymore. Just imagine if all those resources could be turned into traveling between the stars. And I think that's what really attracts a lot of people.
This little alien interlude is brought to you by CBC's War of the Worlds. Catch season 2 on CBC or CBC Gem. What do we know about what, if anything, is being done to dig a little deeper or prepare for the fact that these are not just flights of fancy or weird visual tricks?
Well, you can see that the Canadian Air Force in particular admits that sightings like this occur. You know, in their statements to me, they say, you know, these sorts of sightings that defy immediate explanation do occur, and they don't contest that at all. They just say that it's outside of their mandate. You know, they're concerned with credible threats to the country. You know, to them, it's not a threat. You know, perhaps maybe it's a scientific issue. You know, in terms of what the Canadian Air Force is also doing, one thing I should probably bring up is I was also able to obtain current Air Force procedures for UFO reports that come from the Royal Canadian Air Force's Command Center and Canadian NORAD headquarters in Winnipeg. For those who don't know, NORAD is a joint Canada-U.S. Defense pact that has basically been tasked with safeguarding the continent's skies for over 60 years.
So they're talking about this stuff at a very high level.
Oh, like absolutely. There is an awareness and acknowledgement that sightings like this occur from credible observers. It's just in Canada, they're not doing anything about it. The proof is in the pudding. And this procedural document, you know, I just brought up, it refers these UFO reports to NAV Canada, the private aviation company we were previously talking about. But it also refers UFO reports to a civilian UFO researcher in Manitoba, somebody who is not, a military professional, but has, you know, worked out an arrangement whereby they're receiving UFO data directly from the military and government. I've been able to show that that's been happening for over 20 years. So while the United States has, you know, Pentagon task force that are dedicated to investigating potential national security threat implications of UFOs, the Canadian military is punting them off to a civilian in Winnipeg.
Doesn't that at least say the fact that they are looking for a UFO expert, quote unquote, to take a look at these reports? Doesn't this acknowledge that there's something going on here that they can't understand?
It's implicit. That acknowledgement exists. I mean, you know, when I talked about that case from July of this year where the Canadian military transport plane saw something, you know, the statement I got back from the Canadian Air Force was they didn't deny it. They said that, you know, that crew, of course they saw something. They wouldn't have reported it otherwise. You know, the language in the procedural documents from the Air Force specifically say unidentified flying objects. This is what you should do if you see, and it includes a list of what they call vital intelligence sightings. And at the very top of the list, which also has things like, you know, foreign submarines, at the very top of the list is unidentified flying objects. So it's in writing. If you see a UFO, you know, here's the Air Force procedure, what to do. To me, it seems very clear that there's, you know, some sort of implicit acknowledgement that this phenomenon is real. It's just the Canadian military sees it as outside of their mandate. But, you know, before 1995, these kinds of reports were handled by the National Research Council of Canada in Ottawa, which is, you know, a federal research organization. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when they stopped in 1995, it appears that's where all official Canadian interest ends.
So this might sound like a really dumb question, but I have to ask then, in all your reporting, what is being done to identify these unidentified flying objects?
I'll give you a little tidbit of something that hasn't appeared in any of my stories yet, but it will. I've been able to obtain documents that show in real time how Nav Canada air traffic controllers are notifying a particular Air Force unit whenever these UFO sightings happen. And, you know, in these documents, it shows that air traffic controllers are letting the Air Force know sometimes in as little as 20 minutes of a sighting. And then the documents also show that the Air Force then reviews their, you know, NORAD radar data. And generally, in pretty much every case I find, they look at the radar, they see nothing, and it's case closed. Nothing corroborating, clearly not a credible threat. This is outside of our realm of concern.
That's a little bit different from actually digging into what these things are, though.
Well, there's, you know, as far as I can tell, with the Canadian government and military, there's no efforts to dig into what these things are, which I think the United States is very actively trying to do, you know, with its UAP task force, using the acronym for Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, you know, with the recent report that was released in June by the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. You know, U.S. intelligence and military officials and the Senate Intelligence Committee, they are all looking into this, trying to get answers. Canada isn't. They're just, the reports are made and then they collect dust.
Does refusing to acknowledge or investigate this kind of stuff beyond the bare minimum, does that help or hurt with the perception of UFOs being a conspiracy that the government is covering up, et cetera, you know? I'm not trying to put words in anybody's mouth. It strikes me that at least the American policy of actively investigating it openly removes the perception of a cover-up.
It's that. And I think, you know, with the U.S. developments, for me, I think the most significant thing was the official acknowledgement of the mystery. You know, we haven't seen that in Canada. And this basically, you know, refusing to talk about the subject, that's been the government's stance going back decades. You know, that sort of, you know, governmental stance has brought us to this, you know, the current situation where even, you know, the United States is releasing, you know, reports about military encounters with UFOs. And some of those American military reports from the 2000s come with, you know, video, corroborating video evidence. Yet I, you know, personally am still fielding questions from people like, hey, Daniel, do you think UFOs are real? You know, to me, we're beyond that. Yes, they're real. I mean, they could be anything. They could all just be some sort of advanced drone technology. Who knows? But these things are real. And the government's refusal to, you know, acknowledge really in a public facing way that there's credibility to these reports, of course, you know, fuels conspiracy theories as much as it, you know, fuels continued denial by people that this is a real thing. You know, the historical record shows that if you look back 70 years, credible observers like pilots and military professionals have seen things moving in weird ways that they can't explain. So clearly this phenomenon is real and it could have, you know, a multitude of explanations. But, you know, the Canadian government's stance of really just not wanting to deal with this and sort of quietly releasing reports, but not taking a public stance, just, you know, fuels misinformation. I think what's happening in the U.S. is a wonderful step forward. You know, it's allowed me as a, you know, as a journalist, I'm not a UFO person in my career, you know, but it's allowed me as a journalist to like wade into these waters and handle something that was once considered wacky and taboo and be able to handle that, you know, in a serious journalistic way. Like that's really exciting. I think, you know, these U.S. developments show that we're perhaps on the cusp of a paradigm shift into accepting the reality that UFO sightings are real. I think a little more work needs to be done in Canada, but, you know, I'm going to keep digging and, you know, putting out stories and looking for documents to help, you know, further that conversation in our country.
I can't wait to have you back when we finally figure this thing out. Thank you, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Daniel Otis, covering UFOs for Vice Canada, possibly the most interesting job in journalism. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. You know the drill. We are on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. We love to hear from you. We also personally read all the email you send, thebigstorypodcast@rci.rogers.com. And we also always check our reviews. So if you're in a podcast app that lets you leave one, please do. If it lets you recommend us or rate us or whatever it is, do that too. We love engagement, even if you're mad. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.